Hey everyone, my name is Dave Hudgens. Thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. Hey listen, we're so glad that you are here and we want to connect with you and your family. One of the easiest ways to do that is by texting the word River Church to 97,000. There you can ask questions, submit prayer requests, or even support the church financially. At the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing any way that we can. You can also visit us at our website at theriverchurch.cc to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 23. If you don't have a Bible, I want to ask you, encourage you to share with someone sitting next to you, or you can take out your phone, you can download a Bible app or the River Church app. There's a Bible feature on there. I want you to be following along and seeing the scripture for yourself. If you're a guest, I want to welcome you. Thanks for being here today. Honored to have you here. If you're watching online, certainly want to extend a welcome to you as well. Psalm chapter 23, the passage begins with the heading, A Psalm of David. Now, a psalm is a song. It is a song meant to be sung while musical instruments play. There are a variety of types of psalms, and we would know that because there are different types of songs, different styles and genres of music. Psalm 23, it may be a psalm that you know, and if you don't, that's okay. You don't have to feel bad about that. But it's one of the more famous passages in the Bible, and it is a personal song of celebration, of thanksgiving, and it is written by, as the heading tells us, a psalm, a song of David. David was king of the nation of Israel for 40 years. He was a warrior, he was a poet, he was a musician. And what is important about David's history and his past, particularly a role he had when he was younger that helps us understand this psalm more, is that David was also a shepherd, someone who looked after, watched out for a flock or a herd of sheep. Verse 1, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." David was king. He was viewed as the leader, the commander of the nation. And yet here he humbles himself and says, God, the Lord, is my shepherd. Now David understood what it meant to be a shepherd because he himself had been one. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, David is very young at that point, and God has told the prophet, his messenger, we're going to have a new king. I'm disappointed with Saul. I've rejected Saul, the king. We're going to have a new king. So God sends the prophet Samuel to the house of a man named Jesse. Jesse gathers all of his sons together except for David. And the prophet comes and he sees these sons. They're tall, they're strong, they're handsome. They look very kingly. And God says, no, 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 no. And finally, the prophet says, do you have any other sons? And Jesse says, well, there's David, the youngest. He's out in the field. The implication is we didn't even really think about inviting him to this party. We didn't think he could possibly be the king. And the reason David wasn't there is because he was the youngest. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:11, he was out keeping the sheep. Later in David's life, he comes to a battle scene. And the nation of Israel is fighting against the Philistines, their enemy. And there's a great giant, a great warrior that comes into the valley. I stood in that valley in 2017. And there's a hillside to your right and a hillside to your left. And we ran up to the hillside on the left where the Israelites would have been. And you imagine the scene there. Goliath, this great Philistine giant warrior, was there blaspheming God. And David shows up to deliver some food to his brothers who are at the war. David then meets with the king and he says to the king, Your servant used to keep sheep, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and struck him and delivered him out of his mouth. And if it arose against me, if it came back towards me, I caught him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has struck down both lions and bears. So David was a shepherd who protected his sheep. So when David in Psalm 23 writes this song about the Lord being his shepherd, he is not speaking of shepherding as something he has heard about or read about. He knows about this. He is talking about it. It's very personal to him. It's very firsthand knowledge. The Lord, he says, verse 1, is my shepherd. Now, this imagery of sheep and shepherd is all throughout the Bible. Earlier in the scripture, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 48, Joseph, Old Testament hero and saint, says of God that he has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. Even in the Psalms, hold your spot in Psalm 23. Go to the right to Psalm chapter 28. Psalm chapter 28 and verse number 9. David is writing here another song. And at the end of that psalm, he says in Psalm 28 verse 9, "Oh, save your people and bless your heritage. Be their shepherd and carry them forever." So David speaks of God asking for his guidance, asking for his protection, asking for his shepherding of their nation. Go a little forward in Psalm chapter 80. Psalm 80 and verse 1. We'll see more of this word picture of sheep and shepherds. Psalm 80, verse 1. The author here is a man named Asaph. The Bible says, "Give ear," so meaning listen, "O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock." Go a little more to the right to Psalm chapter 95. Psalm chapter 95 and verse 7. "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand." A little more to the right, Psalm 100. Psalm 100, verse 3. The Bible says, "Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture." Keep holding your spot in Psalm 23. Go into the New Testament to Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. There are many, many more of these kind of images of a shepherd and sheep in the Bible. Isaiah chapter 40 speaks of God saying he will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will carry them and gently lead those who are with young. Matthew chapter 2, quoting an Old Testament prophecy, where Jesus would be born. "For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Matthew chapter 25, in verse number 31. This is Jesus teaching here. He's talking about the end of time, the judgment of all of humanity. Verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats." One time I was preaching this passage, and I was reading so fast, I invented the word shepherate. So I read it very slowly from this point forward. And anytime I read it in my head, the song "Gotta Keep Them Separated" is playing when I read this passage, which is completely ridiculous. But this imagery of shepherds and sheep are all throughout the Bible, because the culture of the Middle East, even to this day, they understand sheep and shepherds, pastures. You may understand some of that maybe from a documentary or TV, or you may know someone who had some sheep, or you may have been to the zoo or a petting zoo or something like that and observed sheep. To people in David's time, even the time of Christ, it was very common to see flocks. It was very common to see herds. It was very normal to see that. Even, again, in the Middle East today, as I've traveled to different countries, you will drive around and see shepherds. You will see flocks and herds. You go, oh, okay, that's that shepherd, and he's leading, and so forth. It's very common. In our day, there is a reluctance to identify as a sheep. It's almost an insult. It's used in a derogatory, insulting way. Ah, it's just a bunch of sheep, meaning they're dumb, they're helpless, or they're following a leader without thinking. It's an insult. Back to Psalm 23, David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." Again, a great king, musician, warrior, poet. He has no problem saying, I need to be led. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, who is the Lord? In the Old Testament, we see the word Lord. It means Jehovah. It's God. It's a name for God. I want you to go back in Psalm to Psalm chapter 3. And we're going to answer this question as we look at some of the songs that David wrote. Who is the Lord? Who is the Lord to him? Psalm chapter 3, in verse 3, David says, "But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head." So, Lord, you are my protector. You are the one who lifts me up. You are what I celebrate, my glory. David says, "I cried aloud to the Lord. He answered me from his holy hill." So I needed the Lord. I called out to the Lord. And now, verse 5, "I lay down and slept. I awoke again, for the Lord sustained me." So who is the Lord to him? It's his protector. It's the one who sustains him. It's the one who encourages him. That's who David says the Lord is. Look down at Psalm 4 in verse 3. "But know that the Lord," David says, "has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call him." Look over at Psalm 6. In verse 1, "O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord," how long? "Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love." Over and over again, David is going to use this phrase, "O Lord." He's calling out to God. He knows that God can deliver him, that God loves him. Look over at chapter 7, Psalm 7. Verse 1, David says, "O Lord, my God, in you do I take refuge." So for David, God is a refuge. He is protection. He is the one who sustains him through the night. He is the one who can heal him. He is all of these things the Lord is to David. Psalm 7, verse 8, David says, "The Lord judges the peoples." So David acknowledges that the Lord is judge. Psalm 8, verse 1, David says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." So he says God is majestic. Psalm 9, verse 9, David says, the Lord is a stronghold for the oppressed. So safety in time of trouble. Psalm 16, one of my favorite chapters in all of the Bible. Psalm 16, verse 2, David says, I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Meaning you're the boss, you're the king, you're my savior, you're my God. Verse 5, the Lord is my portion and my cup, you hold my lot. The Lord is his everything. Verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. Verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. So David is saying, the Lord is all that I need. The Lord is my counsel. The Lord is the one that I'm keeping my eyes fixed upon. Psalm chapter 18, verse 1. David says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. Psalm 18, verse 18. The Lord was my support. Same chapter, verse 28. The Lord, my God, lightens my darkness. When there is a lack of clarity, a lack of understanding, the Lord brings light. This is who David is speaking of. This is who the Lord is. So when David says in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, here is who he knows and declares God to be. The character of God. Now, Jesus would quote a psalm from David. And you can just jot this down in your notes. I'll read it to you. Matthew chapter 22. Jesus is in a conversation with the Pharisees. And Jesus says to the religious leaders, he asks them a question, saying, what do you think about the Christ, the Messiah? Whose son is he? Whose descendant, Jesus is asking. They said to him, the son of David. And he said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit, so God speaking through him, calls him Lord, calls the Messiah, the Christ, Lord? If it's his descendant, why would the former call the latter Lord? That just didn't work in their culture. And Jesus quotes Psalm 110. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Jesus said, if then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? Jesus turns the light on with this passage, illuminates that in Psalm 110, David in the Spirit, God speaking through him, David is talking about Jesus. He's talking about the Messiah. He's talking about the Christ. Now, let's hold your spot, Psalm 23. Go to the right, to the Gospel of John, John 10. Jesus would speak of himself as a shepherd. That's who David's talking about. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And we know the Lord that he is talking about is Christ. John chapter 10, verse number 11. Jesus speaking, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep. And flees, and the wolf comes, or the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. Jesus declares again, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Here is Jesus building on that imagery of the Old Testament, that understanding of a sheep and shepherd. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Well, who are the sheep? Isaiah 53 says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So the image, the picture. The idea is that you and I are stubborn, rebellious. We don't want to do what we're told to do. We don't want to go God's way. We do our own thing. We sin against God. So what does God do? God sends his only begotten son, Jesus, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And Jesus is buried. And Jesus rises from the dead. That's what Jesus means here in John chapter 10 when he says, I'm the good shepherd and I lay down my life for the sheep. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. Peter says, for you were straying like sheep. We were going our own way, doing our own thing, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseers of your souls. Let's go back to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. Say the Lord Jesus. Shepherd meaning owner or master. We would say Lord, the boss, the king, the CEO of your life. Very simple question, but I think incredibly important and profound for each person to answer. Is Jesus, the Lord, your shepherd? You might know Psalm 23 and love the idea that he restores your soul. Or you might know Psalm 23 and in verse 4 where David says to the shepherd, you're with me. Or verse 5, you prepare a table before me. Or you might love the idea of verse 6 that goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. And then in eternity, I'll live in the house of the Lord forever. But I want you to hear this. None of that applies to you if Jesus is not your shepherd. None of it. It's like reading someone else's love letter. It's not for you. It doesn't apply to you. The question is the Lord your shepherd? Or is the Lord Jesus just someone you reach out to when things have really fallen apart? Otherwise, you kind of stay at a distance. Maybe Jesus is a distant relative you hang out with once in a while. But the reality for you sitting here is that Jesus may not be your shepherd. He's not your leader, your owner, your boss, the one who directs your life or tells you where to go. You want Jesus to take you to heaven, but during this lifetime, you don't want Jesus to tell you what to do. And I want you to hear this so plainly. Unless Jesus is your Lord, he is not your Savior. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that we must confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. Then Romans 10:9 says you will be saved. So the declaration is, Jesus, you're the boss of my life. You're the CEO, you're the president, you are the commander of my soul. That's what David is saying in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. When he says we're going that way, we go that way. When he says we're stopping here, we're stopping here. David says the Lord is my shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord might be. He doesn't say, I hope so. He says with confidence, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say that with confidence? Jesus in John, speaking about himself as the good shepherd, he says of his sheep that they hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. How do we follow Jesus? We see what he has said, we see how he has lived, and we walk the same path. If you can see the way of Jesus and decide you're going to do your own thing and feel no conviction in your heart, there's a real good possibility you don't belong to the Lord. He is not your shepherd. The Bible says in 1 John, John writes and he says, I write these things to you, believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Who is the shepherd, the owner, the Lord of your life? As one poem says, I think a humanist hymn of our day, I am the master of my fate, I am the captain of my soul. If that's you, I want you to understand that you will captain your soul into eternal hell. Because the Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all, every one of us, turned to our own way. Maybe for you, we talk about owner and Lord, shepherd. It would be who or what controls your life. Is it you? Is it money? Is it success? Is it career? Is it your hobbies? Is it your children? As humans, we are very proficient. We are very skilled at creating other gods, other shepherds, other lords. David says, the Lord is my shepherd. He does not say the Lord is my parents' shepherd or the Lord is the shepherd. The Lord's my spouse's shepherd. The Lord's my friend's shepherd. He says the Lord is my shepherd. This is a personal connection to the Lord. This is a personal connection to Jesus Christ. And if you're sitting here and you know the Lord, it's almost as if you get to read the rest of the psalm and just rest in it. If you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, then the rest of the psalm, the song just becomes wonderful. Here it is. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm content, I know I'm taken care of. The Lord is looking out for me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. To a sheep, that meant there was safety. To a sheep, that meant there was provision, that the shepherd was providing. So there was peace. Some of you sitting here today, you live with no peace. You live with this rushed, anxious spirit trying to grasp at all these things, trying to find comfort because the Lord isn't your shepherd. You are, and that's exhausting. David says, the Lord's my shepherd. I'm taken care of. I'm at peace. He restores, verse 3, my soul, and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I know where to go because he's leading. I know how to live because he's leading. And guess who gets the credit? His name's sake. I love this pivot in verse 4. Up to this point, the song has been singing about the shepherd. Now David is going to start singing to the shepherd. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So these deep crevices where sometimes the sun would have a hard time getting in, where predators would hide out, thieves would hide out, all of these things down there. David says, when I am walking through that valley, when I don't know what's around the next corner, it might be death, it might be a villain, it might be destruction. Even though I'm walking through that valley with the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you're with me. You're there. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. It comforts me to know that the staff is going to be guiding me, and you have that rod to strike an enemy, to protect me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm surrounded by enemies, but I'm at peace because you've set the table before me. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. So he spends the first couple verses singing about his shepherd. Now in verse 4 and verse 5, he sings to the shepherd. And here's the summary of life from beginning to end for David. Verse 6, he says, surely, meaning confidently, I know goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I wake up, as the Old Testament says, your mercies are new every morning. They're fully charged every morning. So when I wake up, God, I'm going to need your goodness. I'm going to need your mercy. And I know that your mercy and your goodness are going to follow me around all the days of my life. And when the days of my life come to an end, look at the end of verse 6. David says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. One writer says, after passing through death, the picture changes to a man welcoming special guests to his home. We're walking with the Lord. You know the Lord. He's your shepherd. He's providing for you. He's with you in the best of circumstances, in the worst of circumstances. He's providing for you. He's setting the table before you. And he sent his goodness and his mercy to follow you around all the days of your life. When the days of your life come to an end, he opens the door and says, come on in. You're going to dwell in my house forever. That's the psalm. Is the Lord your shepherd? Or is he someone nice you think about from time to time? Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will say to me in the day of judgment, Lord, Lord. Jesus says, then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Weren't part of the flock, weren't part of God's sheep. Can you confidently say, the Lord is my shepherd? A couple weeks ago, as Grant mentioned, we were in Guatemala and we went out for some prayer visits, divided up into different teams. And Lena, we were on the same team, weren't we? Yes. So Jen and I, Lena, a few other people were on the team. And we went to some houses, I think three houses, each so special, each so different. First home we went to was an older woman. And by older woman, that definition has started to change for me. And let me back that up a little bit. She was probably in her 40s. It hurt me. But 40 in Guatemala, it just because of the harsh conditions of what it is and food and culture and everything, look older. There was one lady, we met her, and, this is my elementary age son. Oh, how old are you? 23. Oh, okay. How old's your mom? 41. I was like, say what? So just things thrown off. So we went to this grandmother's house. She had seven little kids sitting there. And through the interpreter, as I recall, she was explaining to us that she did not know where the mother was, seemed to be frustrated with that, trying to provide and feed these seven little kids. So in the middle of the conversation, I'm talking and I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to read Psalm 23 for this lady. This is going to bless her so much. I came from America. I'm going to open it up, stand in her home, read Psalm 23. The sky will open up. Heaven will fall. It will just be this miraculous, wonderful spiritual experience. So I said to the interpreter, hey, would she be okay if I read a psalm? He's like, oh, yeah. I said, will you tell her I'd like to read Psalm 23 to her? And so he says it in Spanish. I open my Bible, and she starts quoting Psalm 23 in Spanish from start to finish. And I thought, oh, I thought I was here for you. You're here for me. And she got to the last verse, and she began to tear up, to cry. As she said in Spanish, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, I hope that's your story. Heaven sounds awesome. The Lord being with us sounds awesome. Jesus says it this way. If you'll follow me, you're going to deny yourself. You're going to take up your cross. There's a death. There's a surrender. Jesus said, if you want to find your life, meaning, purpose, fulfillment, if you want to find your life, lose it for my sake. Surrender to Christ. And I know there's some stubborn young men and women here. There's some stubborn men in here saying, I'm not going to be a sheep, Pastor. I'm not going to be that. Then you reject Christ and you will spend eternity in hell. The gospel is that God so loved you, he sent Jesus to die in your place. The shepherd dying for the sheep. He dies on the cross, pays the penalty for our sin, rises from the dead, and then offers to us the forgiveness of our sins and the hope of eternal life. What must we do? We must come to Christ and confess him as Lord, King, boss, master, CEO of our life. You tell me what to do. You get to make the decision where I work, where I live, who I marry. You are the boss, Lord, King, master of my life. And I believe that you died and you rose again. That's the saving response to the good news of Jesus.